Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 11th, 2017. Coming up after the break, my full review of last night's WWE SmackDown television show. WWE SmackDown was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at Raising Cane's River Center on Tuesday night, and they had a show headlined by John Cena against Baron Corbin. I was very curious to see what they would do in this one. I thought we'd probably see some sort of a schmoz with maybe AJ getting involved, something to protect Baron Corbin and also John Cena, of course, heading into his championship match. And instead, we got a John Cena win by clean pinfall. I don't think too much damage was done to Corbin here. I don't know what this says about what they think of Corbin. I mean, it's not like he can't bounce back. There's no major shame in losing to John Cena. Just a little surprised that we didn't get them taking kind of a different approach to this. Like I say, just something to protect him a little bit more. But apparently they want to send John Cena into the Rumble very hot, and beating Corbin was the way to do it. I think the key to this now is waiting to see how they follow up with it. But it was an interesting show. We'll get to it. And they opened things up with a recap video of Dean Ambrose winning the championship, and he headed to the ring to host the Ambrose Asylum talk show. He made this a newsworthy show right out of the gate by announcing that he was the first champion on SmackDown Live to enter the Royal Rumble match. And he had an alligator's head that was on a chair. Said he wanted a real alligator, but they didn't have a permit. The alligator's head was named Maurice. He's into naming things. And then Miz and Maurice were about to be introduced. They didn't even give him the honors. They interrupted by having their entrance music played. Miz also announced that he is in the Royal Rumble match, so they just keep adding people to this Rumble match. I think that brings the count up to 12. And I think Dolph Ziggler also said he is in. How appropriate that he would be number 13, if my math is correct. Long story short on this one, Ambrose got a little comical. Miz demanded his IC title back. Ambrose instead gave him back the participation award after teasing that he was going to give the title back. Miz's argument was that Ambrose coerced the referee into continuing the match when it should have ended due to outside interference, of course leaving out that the outside interference was Maurice getting involved. Miz ended up attacking Ambrose and threw repeated punches at him. Maurice tried to slap Dean, but she accidentally struck Miz instead, and then Ambrose hit Miz with dirty deeds, and Ambrose handed her the participation award before leaving the ring, and she slammed it down on the mat, so she's all fired up. But yeah, the big thing coming out of this is that I think, you know, Miz and Ambrose's feud continues, and also, perhaps even bigger, as if both men are in the Rumble match. Then we got some hype from the broadcast team, which was the usual team now, the oddball four-man team of Mauro Ranallo, JBL, David Otunga, and Tom Phillips. And after we got some hype from them for the main event, they just kind of ran through the three matches we knew were coming, actually, and then we got a video package on Natalya and Nikki Bella. And then Nikki was walking backstage when Natalya attacked her from behind and threw her into a wall, and Nikki held her knee in pain, and Natalya looked at her and said, "See out there, Nikki." She made it through. One sentence. One heel promo. Not really a promo, but a sentence at least, without telling Nikki that she thinks she's beautiful. So congratulations to Natalya, because it just seems like she can't get through a single promo without pointing that out, even though they're supposed to be bitter rivals. After a break, Natalya makes her entrance, and then Nikki comes out and ends up, they end up brawling. The match never got started, because they ended up fighting, and Natalya ended up chop-blocking the injured knee of Nikki. Nikki was selling a knee injury backstage before this, in that backstage angle they did. Several referees ran out to calm them down. Natalya applied a sharpshooter on the floor. She eventually walked away, leaving Nikki lying on the mat at ringside, holding on to that knee still. So we haven't seen the last of this, and I look forward to the next Natalya promo to see if she can do it, or maybe it's just going to become the running gag, as she always works in how beautiful Nikki is. Backstage, Dasha Fuentes interviewed Dolph Ziggler, and they showed footage of his attacks on Kalisto and Apollo Crews from last week, and she said everyone wants an explanation for his actions. He just kind of stood there and made faces and walked away without saying anything, and they went to a commercial break. When they came back, it was time for what turned out to be the opening match of the show, because we didn't get the women's match. It was Dolph Ziggler facing Kalisto, and if you're like me going, Dolph's going to get a win. No. Kalisto beat him in 8:35. Ziggler continues to be a loser, even though he's a heel, but it made sense. When I first saw it, I was like, what? But then it just was, this is all about Dolph's frustration, and he's just reached a point of no return. He snapped after the match. beating up Kalisto. Then they had Apollo Crews run out and try to save him. The crowd didn't even seem to care about Apollo Crews, and Ziggler ended up rolling inside the ring and catching Crews with a knee when he tried to follow, and he ended up hitting Crews with a chair in the back, just as he had done a couple of times, just as he had done to Kalisto. Kalisto used the ropes to pull himself up, and Ziggler ended up hitting him with one more chair shot to the back. So Dolph has issues with two baby faces. Unfortunately, neither one of the baby faces mean much right now, but those should be two good matches that he can have with those guys, if nothing else. But yeah, I mean, I don't expect Ziggler's losing ways to continue, but I get what they were trying to do here. Just explain, you know, just trying to really sell that he has reached his breaking point. Unfortunately, I just didn't think this did any good for Apollo Crews. Kalisto, fine, you know, he beat Dolph, and then Dolph snapped afterward, and Kalisto is good at drawing sympathy, but Crews just kind of looked like a dope for, you know, coming out to make the save and being so easily manipulated by, you know, he's the fresh man and he's just easily manipulated by Ziggler, who worked him over with the chair. Then we had Dasha interviewing American Alpha. They played it pretty straight here. Jason Jordan said the Wyatts are one of the most intimidating groups in WWE history. And he said Bray thinks of himself as an Alpha and an Omega, but they are the Alphas as long as they have the tag titles. And then Gable pointed out, that's not cockiness, it's the truth. And they were ready to go to war. Then the broadcast team hyped the main event of the show, and they went to a commercial break. When they came back, Renee Young interviewed John Cena, who said the lone wolf is targeting him, even though he's usually the one who's targeting people. And he said AJ Styles referred to him as a has-been, and Cena said he's right. He said it has been a long time since he had to prove himself. And he said he was fired up, and that's not good for Corbin. He closed by saying the lone wolf may be on the prowl, but recognize that he's John Cena, and his time is now. So it kind of rhymed, sort of. But, you know, good fiery promo from John Cena. Happy-go-lucky John Cena. We had a Wyatt pre-tape video that popped up after this, and they said Bray was talking about how he hopes Elvis enjoyed their time as champions because nothing lasts forever, and now the devil is knocking at their door. And Randy Orton says, we're here. And that was that. And then it was time for the tag title match. We got the entrances, and they went to a commercial. When they came back, it was the team of Chad Gable and Jason Jordan, American Alpha, beating Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, who had Luke Harper with them, to retain the SmackDown tag titles. In about 15 minutes and 40 seconds, there was a commercial break during the match. Things got interesting down the stretch. The crowd, I think they like the Wyatts more than they're into American Alpha. More on that in a second. But the finish of this, you had Orton setting up for an RKO, but he was distracted by Luke Harper, who was on the apron kind of bickering with the referee, and then Orton kind of walks over, and Gable ends up rolling him up and pinning him that way. So Alpha celebrate quickly and head backstage. And here's why I say I think the crowd likes the Wyatts more than Alpha right now, at least this crowd did, is that they really didn't react to the pin. It wasn't like they were happy. It wasn't like they were voicing displeasure, but Randy Orton's still very popular. Bray Wyatt, they positioned him as a heel. He's never really had an actual babyface run, but he's still very popular with the fans. And Alpha, I just don't think they've done a good job of defining their characters. They've kind of been goofy at times, and they just kind of won the tag titles out of nowhere. And if you know them from NXT, hey, you probably love these guys. But there's a lot of people who just watch the main roster stuff. Maybe they've heard about how good these guys are, but they're still waiting to be impressed by something as far as their characters are concerned. You know, I think they've been impressive in the ring at times on SmackDown, but from a character development standpoint, it just hasn't clicked yet. And so it's hurting them, I think, as much as it helps them to be in the spotlight with these guys. I still think, boy, if you could just have the Ruthless Usos, you know, just the heel Usos that we saw feuding with American Alpha, I still think that's when Alpha's going to hit their peak. That's when they're really going to start to click with the fans, where you're kind of asking fans right now to choose between the two established guys and the newcomers that they don't know much about. And the fans like Orton, and they like Wyatt. Well, I don't think they're going to have to wait long, though, for Randy Orton to be back on the babyface side of things, because clearly, there was issues with him and Harper after the match was over, and they ended up with them nearly coming to blows. Harper tried to kick Orton, but Wyatt was between them and ended up taking it instead. And then when he was down, Orton and Harper just kind of stopped in their tracks and were looking at Wyatt, and then kind of looked at one another. Wyatt stood up and just walked between them. And then Wyatt got in Orton's face, and Harper yelled, "Do something," at Orton. And then Wyatt got in Harper's face, and then Wyatt just left the ring. And Orton just kind of watched him go. Harper left the ring next, leaving Orton alone standing in the ring to close the segment. So it wasn't like Bray really chose sides here. I mean, is there some? I mean, it's the Wyatt family, so I don't think Bray's going to be the guy going solo and babyface. But who are we going for, the Orton family or some weird? I think it's just going to result in Randy going back to being a babyface. But one thing to keep in mind is Eric Rowan should be back fairly soon from his shoulder. Would he have rotator cuff surgery? I believe you would think he'd be back fairly soon from that. And so there's a different ways they can go about this. If they want to just put the band back together, they can have Rowan replace Randy Orton in this, and then you've got the original trio, the original Wyatt family. They could also end up having Luke Harper and Eric Rowan team up to feud with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton if they really wanted to. I hope it's the original trio. I've never quite got what they were going for with Randy in this group. I think it's worked out a little better than I assumed it would, but I just don't really feel like it's all that hot. It's kind of confusing. I just if this is like, hey, did Randy fall for Bray Wyatt's mumbo jumbo? Is Randy kind of playing a weird double agent role? I've never quite known what they were going for, and it's not all that compelling. It's not like I'm sitting around wondering what exactly it is. So if when and please, for the love of God, don't send Rowan to Raw to be a singles guy. Let's not make that mistake again. Let's get him back in the Wyatt family where he belongs. Then we had the broadcast team setting up a Baron Corbin video package. He had a new voiceover that was directed at John Cena, calling him Prey, and said Cena says his time is up. Or he said Cena's time is up, I should say, and it would be his end of days. He likes to work in end of days into all of his promos. I don't know if he does or if the creative team does, but somebody really likes to. We had one of those Royal Rumble video packages. Edge had one on Monday. Well, we got a John Cena one here. Kind of cool that they're playing up some history and having people actually talk about past matches, which is something you really don't hear a lot of. It's just kind of what's happening now in WWE, and if you're watching the main television shows. But then we went to footage from the WrestleMania 34 press conference that was held earlier in the day in New Orleans. And then backstage, they had Daniel Bryan and Becky Lynch watching footage of La Luchadora, and Bryan questioned whether the mystery woman was Eva Marie. So there goes my hope, not even hope, my guess that it was Eva Marie. Lynch said, of course not. And then Alexa Bliss showed up and claimed that she went undercover when she was dressed as Luchadora and somehow blamed Becky for screwing that all up. Bryan said he doesn't know who La Luchadora is, but he knows that Bliss tapped out to Lynch while she was dressed as La Luchadora. So therefore, next week, he was going to have her put the title on the line. And in order to keep La Luchadora out of the match, it would be held in a cage match. So as they were hyping this as, for the first time ever, a cage match for the SmackDown Women's Championship between Alexa Bliss, her defending against Becky Lynch. There's plenty of ways La Luchadora can get inside the cage. She can come through the ring as in Kane style or Big Show style. She can, or I guess Undertaker style. A lot of people have done this before. But she can also, let's face it, you can climb over the cage and get involved too. The cage door opens, she can get in that way. So there's a number of different ways this La Luchadora character can get involved in the match, and that would be my guess as to what they're going to do next week. We didn't see La Luchadora tonight other than in this recap thing, but I won't be surprised at all if she gets involved next time. Hey, before we get to the last couple of matches to round things out, .NET members are also listening to my 205 Live audio review. The members will hear the VIP edition of the PW Torch livecast that Wade Keller and I will be doing. If you are listening to this before noon Central, 1 Eastern Time, check it out at pwtorchlivecast.com. We are taking your phone calls live on the air. We'd love to hear from you. So if you have a question, chime in. You just want to listen? That's cool too, but know that the members of our respective sites are getting the extended edition. Wade and I usually stick around afterward. Could be anywhere from, hell, a half hour to 90 minutes, just depending on what's going on that week, and I'm sure there's plenty going on, so I'm not going to tell you how long, because I don't know, but we'll end up, I'm sure, talking a significant amount of time, and give all respective members a good bonus edition. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of the site, know that there's also the two-hour British Invasion podcast. If you are a fan of the UK scene, want to know more about the UK scene, then check out our archives, and certainly this most recent two-hour conversation that Hayden Gleed and Darren Gutteridge did, recorded over the weekend. It went up on Monday and Tuesday for members, along with my Q&A audio show, the WWE Raw audio review. My full-length audio review of that show is up, so as you can tell, a ton of audio available for members. If you are interested, visit the main page at prowrestling.net. Once you are there, you will see the sign-up area. Click in there. Three different pricing options. $750 gets you in the door for 1 month. And what a month it is, Royal Rumble time. Treat yourself to that. But, hey, why not give yourself a full calendar year of .NET membership? The annual annual membership brings the price down even to just $5.50 per month on average. You're going to save yourself $2 by doing that. You can also save yourself some money by signing up for the six-month option. If you have any questions on anything, as always, hit me up on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet, or shoot me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com. All right, back to the show. The third match was Carmella defeating CJ Lund, I believe is the way they, I don't know, if, did they pronounce it that way? It's either Lund or Lund. I don't know if this was another Arn Anderson thing, CJ Lund is better known to the wrestling fans as Thunder Kitty. If you are a fan of independent wrestling, then you probably know who Thunder Kitty is. She actually appeared on, I think, was that the first Women of Honor special? I think they've done two. I could be mistaken, but it's the not this one that just aired here recently. It was the prior one. She, Thunder Kitty, was on that special. And so, you know, she's been on the independent scene for quite a bit. I thought it was kind of cool to see her. And unfortunately, this, rather than kind of, she just has this throwback look. You know, she looks, and JBL was calling her the granddaughter of Mildred Burke, and asking if she was Mae Young's granddaughter, and just going on and on and on. It's like, boy, you know, there's something fun about that gimmick that people get a kick out of, and you would think that WWE could be a little creative with it. I know, you know, she was just in for a one shot. You never know. I mean, James Ellsworth was as well, who was in Carmella's corner for this match, and he's stuck around for a while, so you never know when something's going to click, but I didn't get the impression that they intend to use her more than this one time. But why not be a little creative with it? And instead, it just turned into JBL mocking this woman's look for, you know, the duration of the match. I didn't get a time on it. I'm going to guess 3-4 minutes, and disappointing. Just tacky, I felt. It stopped, you know, the granddaughter of Mildred Burke. I mean, of course you're going to comment on the way she looks like a throwback, but just to pile on the way he was, I'm sure, you know, Vince McMahon feeding him through the headsets would be my guess, or whoever was feeding him lines through the headsets, probably getting a huge kick out of knowing that, oh, Vince is going to listen to this and he's going to love it. Oh, man, I didn't like it. I just found it tacky. Ellsworth ended up pulling CJ to ringside while the referee was distracted, and when she returned, she walked into the code of silence, so Carmella won that way. And then afterward, JBL said that CJ is Mauro's girlfriend, and Mauro just shook his head. And then Phillips set up footage from Raw of Undertaker announcing his entry into the Royal Rumble match, and they went to a commercial. When they came back, the broadcast team said the tag title match is official for next week. I think actually, wouldn't have been. I think it was the women's title match, must have been what I meant. We already knew that. So I guess I'm not sure what the hell I was going for. I filled in for Jake Barnett. He was sick. I did it on short notice. All right, I was long caught up after this. So, yeah, I don't know what I was going for there. But I'm thinking it's just the women's match, the cage match, because they didn't announce any type of tag title match for next week. We got that on this show. Backstage, Carmella was giddy about being on a winning streak, and she said she had something special for James Ellsworth. He got all excited, and he puckers up waiting for a kiss, and she says, James, all good things come to those who wait. So she's not ready to be making out with old Ellsworth just yet. And she said she would take him on a shopping spree. And, first he had told us that, he said he hadn't bought a new suit since that time he was supposed to graduate from high school. And he also got giddy when she was puckering, when he thought she was going to give him a kiss. There was something that implied that he's a 32-year-old virgin, like he'd been waiting 32 years for a kiss. This man has two kids at home. You know, I mean, it's not that hard to use Wikipedia. I know there's a lot of contradictory things if you want to take that approach, but I don't know. It just kind of feels unnecessary and silly to go that far with it. It's just not believable. But backstage, we had Corbin once again speaking about the end of days for John Cena, and then AJ Styles showed up and said that tonight is Corbin's night, said he'd be on commentary, and then told him to do his best Styles impersonation by beating up John Cena. And then Styles made his entrance, and he will be on ESPN News, the SportsCenter show on Wednesday. They like to tell you it's ESPN. It's ESPN News. Then footage aired from last week's contract signing, and they went to a commercial break. We had Noam Dar checking in with a quick plug for 205 Live and talking about being kissed by Alicia Fox. Remember, members will hear my audio review of that show. You can check out my print review of the show, but I'll get into more details and have lots of thoughts on that one because it was kind of an interesting show. I said not a lot goes on that show. Well, they gave me quite a bit to talk about this time. But then ring entrances for the main event took place, and it was John Cena pinning Baron Corbin in 11 minutes. Corbin got in his share of offense and all of that, but Cena ended up hitting his usual combination. He performed a five-knuckle shuffle, finished him off with an attitude adjustment. One, two, three, that was it. And then after the match, AJ Styles stood up, and Cena gave him the You Can't See Me hand gesture, and Styles stood on the broadcast table, was holding up his title belt while Cena was celebrating in the ring to close the show. So, yeah, I mean, just a little more straightforward than I expected with John Cena and Baron Corbin. But again, I think the key is, well, how do they follow up with Corbin next week? How does he respond to this? What do they do with him? I don't think that, I'm not taking this as a sign that, oh, they've lost faith in him and he's screwed. And let's see what they do. You know, this, he might come out and, you know, just blow a gasket and start destroying people. Maybe he gets a win over Cena tag match next week. I don't think they're going to go that far because I think we are close enough to the Rumble where they're going to want to protect John Cena as much as they can. So that would have to be something pretty fluky. But still, I want to see what they do with Baron Corbin next week to come back from this. How, you know, where does he stand now? We know he's in the Rumble match, but he doesn't feel like a strong candidate to win. If you missed it earlier or yesterday, actually, you can check out my All Access audio show. My bonus thoughts on the show are kind of looking at the top contenders for the Royal Rumble match and why I think it's not a slam dunk here. There's some interesting scenarios that I get into on that, and I'm sure that there'll be more as we get closer to the Rumble. Zach Zimmerman is going to be my guest on the .NET Weekly audio show, .NET staffer Zach Zimmerman. He will also have live coverage of the NXT show tonight for you guys. It's they're finally out of, well, they're back in the USA. They are done with the Melbourne and Osaka shows. They're fun, but now it's time for some first-run material. Zach will have you guys covered at the usual time, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, and then he and I are getting together either on Thursday or Friday for the .NET Weekly audio show. Zach went on that crazy trip. He was at Raw last week. He was at SmackDown. He went to the NXT taping. He saw three different TNA Impact Wrestling tapings. He went to Style Battle, and I'm probably forgetting one. Zach was all over the place, and he's one of the few people that I've heard from. At least, I haven't even talked to him about this. I'm kind of waiting for the show. At least coming out of the show on after Wrestle Kingdom, he was not a fan. And we'll see if he's kind of softened his stance on that or if he still feels pretty passionately about it. I'm curious to see what it was he didn't care for about that because it was, I think most people were buzzing about the main event and certainly the last couple of matches, but Zach, at least you know, that night, maybe he was just up late and he was cranky. I don't know. We'll find out on .NET Weekly, available exclusively for members, like I say, either on Thursday or Friday this week, and we'll be talking about all the news of the week. It's definitely a lot of interesting things going on behind the scenes, and I'm sure we'll be getting to during that show as well. But that is going to do it for now, everybody. As always, if you could, take a moment to subscribe to this daily podcast and rate and review us on iTunes. I really appreciate that. You're helping spread the word about the site. And for that matter, a big thanks to everybody who simply hits retweet when I put the link out there on the Twitter page at Pro Wrestling Net. Until next time, everybody, have a great day.